the MadTech Podcast Special, focusing on the most important topics in AdTech and MarTech.
Hello, and welcome back to ExchangeWise Podcast Special. Today, I'm delighted to be joined by Christina Prokop, who is CEO and co-founder at IOTA. Christina, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you so much for having me. Great to be here.
Yeah, I'm really excited for some of our discussions. I think you're going to have a lot of insight that the ad tech sector at large would love to know. So diving straight in, this one is, I think, an interesting question because it's sort of like a new frontier for ad tech that we haven't quite conquered yet, but it's on everyone's mind. So how do you, Christina, think that companies can work at targeting a lack of attention towards ads?
It's a really great question, and I think one that affects all of us, not over from a revenue perspective, but a relevancy perspective from consumers. And it's something that really not any one part of this industry can solve. I think that's a complex thing about it. Unfortunately, like so many other parts of our industry.
Right.
So if you look at it, if you break it down, first it's really about, if the question is, what can companies do to combat that lack of attention? It comes down to what type of company you are. So I'll start with the non-data companies first and then move into them. So if you look from a publisher's perspective, obviously those are things like the placement, the relevancy of the content and how that ad reflects the relevancy of that content. It's about not overfilling the pages and bombarding a user with ads so that they become kind of immune to them. Then from an agency perspective or whoever is doing the actual execution of campaigns, it's all about that ongoing optimization for the targeting and the frequency cap and who, the data and the audiences you're serving those ads to. Because the end goal really has to be, and it's kind of something all of us talk about all the time, but it's the relevancy which is going to win in the end. And as a data company, that's where we come in. And using the data that we bring into market, that's how both publishers and advertisers can make sure that the targeting is as relevant as possible to the end user. So I think, that lack of attention really, unless all of those come together at once and everybody's working towards the same goal, it's difficult to solve, with just one at a time.
Right. And I think you bring up something interesting from a data standpoint, because obviously, you really get into the nuts and bolts of things. I mean, with attention, there's so much that goes into it. For example, conversion rates into desired action. There's so many facets within that. And I think, a company like yours sort of has firsthand experience and knowledge into that, desired action.
Yeah, we do. It's what we unfortunately as a data company don't have insight into are in many cases the actual outcomes in the day in and day out of the campaign, since we don't actually sit as a data company, we don't sit on top of the campaign performance data. So right. We work very closely with our partners at the agencies to ensure that the data is driving that relevant targeting. But very much so, it is the attention, obviously the conversion rates are a good gauge of what that attention is, but it's not only, depending on what the goal of the campaign is, whether that's for awareness or whether that's for, driving a very specific outcome. That's all going to depend on what type of targeting and what type of placement the ads have, which is, again, going to work towards combating a lack of attention.
Right, Christina. So I want to sort of get your opinion on something. And in terms of, a cookieless future and what that might look like. So what do you think the future of data looks like as we head into a cookieless 2024? Do you think the ad industry in the APAC region is well prepared for this? What work do you think needs to be done? I feel like this is the thing that's on everyone's mind. We're a year away from the big cookie deprecation. So what are your thoughts?
Yeah, unfortunately, I don't think we're all where we want to be or need to be right now, but I think that is changing very quickly at the moment. At least from our side, we're seeing a lot more activity than we have been recently from all sides, with the DSPs or the data providers, and also what we have the capabilities to start testing now. So why don't I go back to the first part of the question, which was, what does the future of data look like in this new world? And I think that's one thing I'd like to underline is a very common, that there is a very common misconception. And that's that the misconception is that the end of third-party cookies means the end of third-party data. And that is very much not the case. Even today, third-party data is connected to multiple different identifiers that are used for targeting in the ecosystem. Obviously, like everyone, a lot of that revenue today is based on cookies. But that is, you know, exactly the same for any company, you know, that's active in this ecosystem. So I, in my opinion, the future of data and its importance and where we're headed doesn't change at all. You know, it's going to continue to be the main driver of growth, the main driver of relevancy. What will change is how that data is managed on a lot of on a lot of different levels. So what changes is how is the data sourced? What identifiers is it connected to on the sourcing front? What identifiers are going to be used for the actual targeting within and, you know, take market share in the DSPs? What other changes will happen on the front of identifiers with, you know, other ones like IP addresses may also be, you know, the next. So I think what we have to prepare ourselves for is to all be able to work interoperably between identifiers and between different tactics of how data is sourced and how it's distributed and what IDs that's done on. So it sounds pretty easy in a two-step process, source and distribute, but there's a lot of steps in between. And you know, there's, as we all work through this evolution that's happening, the most important thing is that we all start testing as aggressively as possible. And that is, when I look at it, I think, and it's similar to GDPR, I think a lot of people get a little stuck like deer in headlights and they don't know where to start, so they don't start. And in my opinion, what we truly try to drive forward with our customers is really focus on iterative testing. Get some, you know, take some basic theories, test them out on what you have today, get some baselines in place. And the most important part is that you really just get started somewhere. You know, there is the possibility to target cookieless browsers today. You can test different IDs today. So, you know, I think getting those learnings and testing is really the most important part. You know, what we're doing specifically, again, you know, we're making sure that we expand both from the data supply and data ingestion and our connections into the demand side platforms and SSPs and endpoints. We're making sure that we update all those integrations to include multiple identifiers. So not only cookies and maids and hashed emails, but also we're actively pushing the Trade Desk UID and ID5 into DSPs and starting very tactical testing. To the second part of the APAC, to be honest, we're also not there. We're behind in APAC, but we're behind everywhere. Right. You know, so I don't see that as APAC really sticking out like a sore thumb. It's just, unfortunately, the state of everything right now.
Yeah. So I find it interesting that you say that, you know, it's seems to be everyone in the sector sort of behind on, you know, preparing for the deprecation of cookies. So from a data standpoint, do you think that there's any sort of weight behind first party insights? Do you think that there's, you know, the sort of alternative to third party cookie deprecation? I've been seeing a lot, you know, there's a data goldmine in first party insights. This is where we should be heading towards to sort of target that, you know, cookie deprecation loss. What are your opinions on that?
Absolutely holds true. There's no question that building and maintaining a very strong first-party data strategy is incredibly important today and will be more so moving forward. But to be quite honest, I think that is really, obviously, it brings another level to the importance with the deprecation of third-party cookies. But I think the importance of that is really there regardless of what's happening on the ID front. because that is really the core insight and proprietary insight that you have as a brand into your customer base. And that's the most important data you'll ever have. No matter what's no matter what's happening on the identifier front, no matter what's happening on the ad delivery front. However, what's true today and will also be true when cookies are deprecated, third-party cookies are deprecated, the importance of having non-first-party data to overlay and augment that data, that also won't change. Like I mentioned before, it's what the role the data plays isn't going to change. And the fact that third-party data or, you know, any non-first-party data, let's say, the importance of it will not change. And in fact, you know, it may even become more relevant because the challenge becomes even, you know, data in general. Now, whether it's because of data collection methodologies or because of, you know, increasing privacy restrictions, the amount of data we all have to work with, you know, may start to decline. And what that really means is that core seed data, that core asset we all have, is going to be, you know, cleaner, smaller, but extremely relevant. And what I anticipate comes off the back of that are ways to then, you know, use external data to do modeling, use external data to learn more, work with these audience groups as a seed to drive, you know, to do more modeling and testing. So, you know, I don't think, again, like, you know, I think the way the industry works right now and the importance of first party data and then augmenting with non-first party data, that's going to remain, you know, regardless of where all of this goes, in terms of identifiers and accessibility of data.
So that kind of leads us quite nicely into our next question. You talked about audiences. What does quality mean to you when discussing quality audiences? And what are the key data metrics that define quality, in your opinion?
Data quality is, first of all, I'd just like to say probably one of the most important aspects of the data business. Because like I said before, you know, if you don't have high quality data that you're working with, all of the analysis and the interpretation of that data becomes diluted. If you're not sure that that quality is very high, you know, so when we look at what quality means, it has quite a few different levels. It starts with data sourcing. You know, what are the types of data providers that are feeding data in? What type of checks and balances and checks of how that data is being sourced from data suppliers? That's extremely important. The transparency around how the data, basically everything that's happening with the data to the end client. So how's the data being sourced? How is it modeled? Is it not modeled? What are the classifications for users being included in certain segments? That's extremely important. Definitely accuracy, no question. That plays an incredibly large role in the data quality. And then also privacy. So is the data collected in a way that is, that is compliant to all of the local data regulations in the markets where the data is being collected and accessed? And what we've seen is the more focus that's really put on data quality, where the clients are really seeing better results. And, you know, we're very proud. We've done multiple external certifications and audits. We work with Neutronian for external auditing, as well as the IAB data label. And we're very proud to be ranked first in terms of data quality in the market with the latest results that they came out with. And there are case studies that were done with audited data versus non-audited data. And the results were really, really astounding, to be quite honest. You know, it's for example, for a B2B campaign, the CPA difference was between $5 for non-audited and 55 cents for audited.
Wow.
And that's what's really gets exciting is when, yeah, we can talk about transparency, we can talk about sources, and we can talk about accuracy, but until there are really numbers to show in terms of the results, that's what's really going to make, that's what makes us and as well as our customers very, very excited.
Right. So in your opinion, obviously this is a very broad question to do with data, but it's another thing that seems to be on everyone's mind. In what ways do you believe, companies can aim to be more find that sweet spot between working with data effectively, but also being mindful towards people's privacy?
Yes, I think this is something that doesn't necessarily reflect the privacy or quality in the way that we were talking about in the previous question. But I believe as a part of the privacy layer, what is extremely important is a very clear and concise way of describing what you're doing, what you're collecting data for, what type of data, and making in layman's terms, being able to explain it to somebody who doesn't work in this incredibly complex environment that we do. So if you go to our privacy center, we have written out in very clear terms and very simple terms what's happening. And I think that is the thing that creates the most fear is when people don't understand and then you have, and it is, believe me, if you don't work in this industry, I think it's incredibly, incredibly hard to understand what's happening in the background. And that freaks people out, to be quite honest. Right. So I think the more we can help bring users along the path and help them understand how their rights are being protected, that the right, that they have the control to decide what they share and what they don't share, and that everyone respects that, that's really the most important part towards gaining larger acceptance.
Right. I think it's really funny that you say, and interesting that you say, breaking it down into layman's terms, because being relatively new to the industry myself, all these sort of acronyms like CTV and DDS and all these, I was like, what is all of this? Like, I have no idea. So I think that's great. That's really, I think the trick is in making it sort of, understandable to people who maybe don't know the sort of technicalities behind everything.
Yeah, totally agreed.
So rounding out our questions here, Christina, I know you're going to be giving a keynote at the upcoming ATS Singapore, which we're so excited for. So I wanted to ask you, we've got how many weeks? I mean, just a few weeks to go. What are you most looking forward to at the upcoming ATS Singapore?
First and foremost, connecting with everyone, with our data partners, with our clients, with our distribution partners, the DSPs and SSPs. And to be quite honest, also our team there, because I'm not out there as often as I would like to. So really the first thing that I'm very excited about is just being in market, being with everyone in the industry, and having a chance to discuss all the topics, including what we've discussed today in more detail with them locally. What I really am planning on is doing a lot of listening and a lot of collaborating to really help drive that accelerated testing that we were talking about. My big goal from ATS is really to come out with test scenario, with agreement and kind of everybody on the same page in terms of the importance of an iterative testing strategy, so we can all be more prepared. And it's also just in general understanding what the concerns are of the local markets and where the big wins are in the markets. ATS Singapore, I find one of the most interesting events because the user base and the markets that it covers are so diverse, right? So, you're not talking about the US where the challenges may differ by vertical, but not necessarily, obviously not by country. Right. And you have this really interesting and additional layer on top of just what's generally going on in our industry at ATS Singapore because of this, cultural and country diversity that we have there, market diversity.
Right. And without giving too much away, would you mind just telling us a little bit about what you'll be talking about at ATS Singapore?
Sure. So the topic that I'm going to be talking about at ATS Singapore is navigating the changing data landscape. So to be honest, a lot of what we talked about today with a bit more detail and some, practical first steps that we can all go, that we can all use to start getting ourselves more comfortable with the changes that are coming and really talking about what might this look like on the other end. And it's not a teaser, but, not to give anything away, but the reality is I think this is only the first step in a series of changes. I think that's the one thing that I love about this business, but also is so exhausting, is that it is in a constant state of evolution. And, it's not going to end with a cookie. The data privacy front is changing. It will not slow down changing. Identifiers and how they work in the ecosystem won't slow down in the pace of innovation. So I think we have to kind of see this as it doesn't end with the cookieless. The deprecation of the cookie is actually not the end of the story. It's setting all of us up for a framework that can guide us through different IDs in the ecosystem, different channels, and the interoperability of data across all of them. That's what we really all have to be focused on.
Right. I love that. This is not the end of the story. Unfortunately, that's all the time we have for today's episode. Christina, thank you so much for your time and what's been a really insightful discussion.
Thank you so much, Miriam.
Yeah, and I really look forward to seeing you at ATS Singapore. A big thanks to all the listeners at home. And that's this week's ExchangeWire podcast.